What the fuck is a reboot?
Hello and welcome back to Clerks Minute Reboot, where we are talking about the 2019 Kevin Smith movie, JSL Op Reboot, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle, and I would have held out for a less dodgy van. You'll understand that later.
And on the line, our guest for the week from Wildcat Minute, a first timer here on Clerks Minute. Tyler Boudreau. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Bong. Did I do that right?
I think I got it right. Oh, welcome to the show, Tyler.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to talk about Clerks and Jay and Silent Bob and the View Askew universe.
Yes. Well, you're first time in here. What is your history with the View Askew universe?
Well, you see, at some point in my life, I was a 16-year-old boy, and I saw the movie Clerks.
Fair enough.
I think it's that thing where Clerks connects with you, and, you know, that movie does actually have an emotional center to it, and it's really funny, and... You know, you get that, and then, you know, you hear about Dogma and what's the other big one that's not Chasing Amy? Mallrats. You see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. You catch Clerks 2 on cable. You know, you get all these things, and you're like, wait, all these movies are connected. And then you figure out the characters, and then you're spending time on Wikipedia, and you're figuring out which ones are actually funny and which ones are kind of bad.
That's funny.
Yes, remember Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino did the idea of a shared universe before it was cool.
Yeah, but I've always liked Clerks, and I showed it to my best friend from high school, and he's not as hip to like films as I am, and so he was like, "Is this Us?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess I," in that sort of like. awkward teenage boy way where you're like, yes, I'm trying to connect with you emotionally about something.
That's funny. Well, I'll ask this. When were the first time you saw this movie? Was it when I asked you to do the show, or did you see it when it came out?
I saw this movie in the theater.
Hey, welcome to the club. There's a small view of us on the show.
The theater was showing it on, you probably talked about this. It was a double feature of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and then Reboot. We made it into Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back a little late because we were busy and didn't show up on time. But, you know, seen that movie 1,000 times, didn't really matter. Then saw Reboot. It was me and my dad, who I sometimes drag to those sort of indie movies because nobody else in my family wants to go. And we liked it well enough. And then we went, okay, that was Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. And then we went on with our lives.
Fair enough. We didn't do the double header. We just did the single. We just went to Reboot. So it made it a lot easier. But it was fun. And me and Kyle went to see it together. So that was fun. But let's get into the movie. We just came out of them with Method Man and Red Hot High that they were on.
And I like the freeze frame that you had when we started this. We have Bob in this sort of crucifixion pose. Looks like the Last Temptation of Silent Bob.
It is exactly what this is.
I was going to point out the Christ imagery. I think that's a nod to Zack Snyder.
Or everybody is Christ.
not won't be the last Zack Snyder reference in this movie either.
I think Zack Snyder, judging by how often he uses that, he may have a bit of a God complex.
Fair enough. So I don't know what's weirder about this whole sequence. The fact that the girl sets him up like that, which is hysterical on its own right. or the fact that they didn't have an issue with it. It's just the fact that it's not Hulu or Humpty. I don't know what. I'm not sure which one works.
I still say that I think Jay's orientation is anything that moves.
I think he said that too.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, come on.
Well, at least until you try to hump the bowling ball polisher.
He said things that move. That doesn't move.
Well, it technically does move when you turn it on.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
And that's always kind of been the thing with the Jay and Silent Bob gay panic jokes. It was like, there's always been kind of like an irony on the back of them that's like, oh, but they like have done something weird to each other before. And so it's always a reference to like, oh, we have, you know, had need to increase our physical contact to certain levels before, but they still kind of react in that way because like they think it's funny as a joke to themselves.
Well, as proven throughout the movie, they're still stuck in the 90s where that's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're still stuck in the era of like Seinfeld where they make those jokes all the time. So where now no one really questions it except that they throw it on Instagram and put a hashtag on it.
I think it was probably more for Jay's ass than anything.
You know what's funny? And this is my issue with social media stuff. If you put that on Instagram, Instagram will have no issue with Jay's ass, but they'll have an issue with a female tit. I don't understand it. I don't get
well
Instagram.
Here's the question. Here's the question. I think it technically happened before my minute started. But yeah. when we're looking at Jay's ass, he's not technically showing hole.
True. Very true. It's a valid point.
It's all very, crack very all the way point. Down. It's all butt cleavage.
Really? Because I was thinking more. That's right, Jay. Let a smile be your umbrella.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
I was gonna say, where's Jim Carrey when you need him? What's the matter? Afraid I'll make a stink?
Wow. Anyway, we got back into what we're doing. We meet the rest of our gang that we're going to be hanging out with, the rest of the girls we're going to hang out with. We meet Jihad, who is Andrea Brill, who this is her first real movie on the IMDb list, but she was in the Dead Girl Texas Agency from 2018 to 2019. And then we have Shayu, who is Alice Nguyen, who this is also her first real TV movie credit. And she was in Mr. Student Body President from 2016, 2019. I have no idea what show that is, but it was the only real credit I can write down. So that's where we leave us. I think that's the last big introductions we have, I think, until we get back into another car. So there you go. I think it's funny that she has all these friends throughout the country.
Yeah, we get your moving right along joke Muppet style where you know they have somehow traveled to every corner of the country along their way from who knows what state to California.
If you learned anything, they traveled by map.
They passed Kermit and Fozzie and a Studebaker somewhere around along the way.
Yeah. They turn left and a fork in the road.
Hey, look, fork in the road. I don't believe that.
Big birds walking by somewhere
for no reason. Doesn't do anything.
See Sweetums running after the van.
You know, the Muppet movie did that joke first with the crossovers, I guess.
Yeah. and much like this movie where they did the exact same joke in the Muppet movie. So
what, Big Bird showed up?
No, but the traveling by map. They did all that in the Muppet movie. They get them back together.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't have the grace that is 80s robot.
True. Very, very true. Well, we do have Millie actually explaining all the people here so that we don't have to ask questions later, but we can make Sarah's jokes because it's easier that way. I do feel very old by the sentence, I'm pretty sure they were alive during the 90s. That one hurts.
Oh no, what hurts is I think they were alive when the dinosaurs were still around.
But that's not the line of the movie. That's not the line of the movie. I'm over the line of the movie. So, like, that one hurt because when I turned 40 right before this just started on the podcast, before hearing this episode, so I just turned 40 when this is all going down. So, like, that hurts.
As someone who is but 1 year older than Harley Quinn Smith, we were both born in the 90s, but barely.
Yeah.
Sure. I was not really. I was alive during the 90s, but I was not really paying attention.
That's fair. So we did enough knife talk in our last. We're doing a lot more knife talk than in our last time we brought on knives. We don't need to go through that now. If you want to hear a knife talk, go back to our episode that we had with Movie Rob.
Do you have a knife talk sting or like a drop?
No, this is not Time Life Scavengers, but we have drops for everything.
All right, well, I'll make a drop right now. No, knife talk.
All I can say is Gigan's dagger looks like something that would go with the Necronomicon.
Oh, man. So I am with Jay, though. Having her creepily talking to her microphone in Chinese would creep me out.
Yeah,
too.
I just love that. This is my totally not creepy friend. Not from where I'm standing. Isn't she one of those things that if you look at her, you die in 7 days?
Well, that was the ring joke.
Yeah,
that is the joke they make.
She's part of the grudge than anything.
They do the Shan Yu joke, you know, like one or two too many times in this movie. But the payoff, I guess, is where it pays off. That's, obviously.
They don't do a joke about the villain from Mulan.
He probably didn't want to do a Disney lawsuit when they had to deal with Iron Man later. So, like, to be honest here, take your fights. You want to do a Disney over Iron Man or Mulan joke? So which one do you want to use? Like, so we last left you. We were in Chicago, and much like Kyler put out, we went through the country while they're in that weird fantasy with Red and Method Man. So they're in Missouri, and now they're in New Orleans, which Jay thinks is in Connecticut, which is really in Louisiana.
Now look as. As someone who is currently in Connecticut, I would also react that way if I thought I was suddenly in Connecticut.
Why do I get the feeling that Jay would honestly believe they haven't crossed into another state unless he sees a little border on the map on the actual ground?
Or at least have a sign up that says, "Welcome to this state."
Welcome to Hawaii. How did you get here in a car?
That's another Muppets joke. You can't drive to France. It's way too far.
Well, actually, that was a Who's Line joke, but I'll give you that one.
Darn. You know, of any person, I would pick up on a Scenes from a Hat joke, and I did it. I'm sorry. I'll have to pull another one out of my ass before the fourth episode is over.
Oh my god, we already had way too much ass talk in this episode. As podcasters, I love the title, the American entitled and their first world problems.
Don't even need a podcast for that. Just send them screenshots of Tumblr and Twitter.
I think we could just send them this or any podcast and we would understand the conflict.
You're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong.
although Shen's rambling into the mic is oddly hypnotic.
That is a weird microphone, by the way. It looks like a very strange microphone.
it kind of looks like
it should be lighting up when she's talking.
It looks like a microphone that she cobbled together out of bits at an American Science and Surplus store.
I love it. I love how the joke just sit there.
What do you guys think of like podcast jokes in movies these days? There was the character in Ghostbusters Afterlife. There's this. I think there was a whole subplot in like a Godzilla movie.
They did a subplot in the Sex and the City thing. They did. Like, they brought it back there. I know. Was it Tusk that they had a podcasting in Tusk too?
Yeah.
For Kevin Smith World, like yeah.
Another Kevin Smith movie. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay. I don't mind podcast jokes if they're done well. I mean, like with Ghostbusters, Godzilla. I kind of like the fact they made him into one of the main characters, but I did kind of hate they made him a bit of a conspiracy theorist.
It works though, but it works. Yeah. I mean, I see the movie. I want to see it. I haven't watched it yet, but I don't mind it if it's done well. I know Jim O'Kane brought that up on Facebook recently. Is it too much for us to enjoy podcast jokes in shows and movies? Yeah. Like, he actually brought that up recently.
What about that short-lived sitcom that was like a struggling dad who is a podcaster?
What was that? I'm thinking of the Twitter that show was based off Twitter. The things my dad
says. My dad says.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that. What was that? I know what you're talking about. The funny part is, every time I think of podcast, it goes right back to Kevin Smith, because then I think comic book men. Because they literally were doing a podcast to talk about their stuff, and we never heard that podcast. That's the funniest part.
You know, I don't know if Shatner does a podcast, but he honestly should.
For Shatner? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. He's one of the few people that doesn't, I think.
Yeah.
One of the few people?
I mean, he had albums. You can listen to him, his rendition of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds anytime.
Oh, God, I must find that on vinyl.
And she's gone.
Honestly, you can ask him. I do a very good William Shatner doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Why are you saying it's not just doing it?
Okay, all right then. Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you. You answer quite slowly. The girl. With kaleidoscope eyes.
Here. Welcome to my world.
What's making it even better, and I don't know if it'll come through in the episode, but I'm getting this slight echo. So it's sonically like it's coming through.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
I really hope that's on the show because that's hysterical. That's funny.
What about you guys ever hear the Leonard Nimoy cover of Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town?
No, but now I gotta have it to it. I love the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
Oh my God, that's funny. That's very funny. Well, the funny part about that the Shatner CD that came out, what was that, 2005?
Has Been.
Yeah, it has a fantastic cover of Common People on there. Yeah. Which I love.
It's one of those where the spoken word style actually does go well with the song.
It does. This is going to be one of those weird episodes that I'm going to be editing William Shatner singing in the background of the show.
And the odd thing is, he also does a very good duet with Brad Paisley.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
The name of the podcast sitcom was Alex Inc.
I remember people were complaining about it, but I didn't actually get a chance to watch it before it was canceled. So, yeah, good call. So, now we get to one of the weirder sequences of this entire film, Operation Predator Under.
And I just love the fact they have it on a blueprint, like, you know, they did this in Home Alone.
You're like, what did they have time to make this? Like,
did they actually formulate this a while back and just now bring it out?
What they did was they got the hand from Mythbusters, who does all the illustrations, and they just hired him. Because he's just on Cameo and Patreon now. Like, you can just get him. Really? No, because I don't know. That would be funny, though.
They just got Kevin McAllister to do it.
So I do have the actual picture up on the screen. I might just put this as our picture for this episode because it's too damn funny not to.
Great. Now, every time I see that, I keep thinking of that music from Home Alone when he runs over to set the traps.
Ah. So how this goes. Step one is Millennium takes nude selfie, which is hysterical. That it's Harley Quinn sending nude selfies out. That's hysterical.
It's both hilarious and disturbing.
And the fact that the picture is so ridiculous is hysterical even better.
Yeah, a drawing of her. A stick figure taking nudes is pretty good.
Yeah. It's like an actual photo of olive oil.
Yeah, you know, perfect. Sending nudes. And then figure A, and then figure B. I love the fact that they put out that it's Millie on the computer, which is even funnier. And then they go to Prez R Us, which is hysterical as a website. They made that website up for me. That is so funny to me. And I love the fact there's a drawing on the picture that says, "Hi, kid," waving. I can't get over that. I also like the fact that they wrote laptop and cell phone. As if you didn't know what they're using for this.
Well, when you're doing a lab report, you need to have your materials laid out very clearly.
And then, of course, we have three, which is we're getting to now in the actual sequence. Which is hysterical and creepy. Now, here's my issue with this whole sequence. It's nothing to do with the map. It's the fact that there's somebody in this movie that I could not find on IMDb.
I agree. I was looking up this guy.
Thank you. It wasn't just me. I appreciate the fact that you had the same problem I did. Because we went to the band, and I'm like, he's got to be an IMDb somewhere. Uncredited or something. And I found nothing.
And like I said at the beginning of this episode, I would have held out for a better bag, because that thing honestly looks like it's about, you know, just from the sound of it, it just sounds like the rubber band is about to go.
So I have two questions. One is, at the end of this movie, do they have like the credits where they just say who all the cameos are? Because this guy might be one of those credits.
The problem is they have the cameo list, but also like IMDb and the Kevin Smith wiki and all that stuff has the lists, and this isn't on any of the lists.
Is there like a rule against anywhere. Like, did the actor decide not to be like pedophile on his IMDb? Is that the?
That's probably what the problem was, because it was the weirdest thing ever going through IMDb and trying to find, so who's the pedophile driver? And then I realized I should not put that into a search engine at all. I should not do that.
Yeah, you know, we're searching for the pedophile driver, as you normally do.
Like, I almost went to Google and typed in pedophile driver, James Salabaga. That's a terrible idea.
Maybe the guy plays another role in the movie.
I don't know, but it's so weird. Because the weird part is, it looks like, what's the guy, the donkey fucker from Clerks 2?
Wait, does the X-ray for Amazon actually show?
No, I looked. Oh, okay. I looked actually the first place I looked. Okay, the first place I looked. And like, he looks like the donkey fucker from Clerks 2, but it's not him.
Yeah.
Like,
wait, is it a donkey fucker or a sheep fucker?
Donkey fucker. Definitely a donkey fucker.
Oh, wait, no, sheep fucker. No, sheep fucker is, sorry, I was going to bring up the sheep fucker from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
No, I'm thinking the donkey fucker from Clerks 2.
No, you're right. I heard the wrong movie name.
The one where due to nomenclature confusion, there wasn't going to be any chick. So who the fuck's going to blow the donkey?
Yeah, that was episode 2 for that one. We did a whole, that one. The donkey show took us 4 episodes.
The odd thing is Kevin Smith has humor like this, and he says that he wouldn't do the donkey show again because he felt it went too far.
That's true. Well, yeah, go back. If you want to hear our conversation about that, go up in Clerks in it and go back to Clerks 2. Go back to Clerks 2. It literally took us about, because we were doing 2 minutes at a time, that show, that movie, and it took us at least like a good week or two to get through everything. So, like, it was crazy.
I don't get it. You know, donkey show too far, but, you know, jokes about your own daughter posting nude selfies on a pedo site to attract a man, you know, perfectly okay.
Well, the thing is, because she doesn't actually go, the pedophile doesn't do anything and get beat up.
Yeah.
That's where it helps. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, actually, now I looked up at this guy. He looks like a cross of Brian O'Halloran and the donkey fucker from Clerks 2.
It's a slippery slope.
It's like,
that's what it looks like to me.
There's like a 30% chance it's Stephen Root, but it's not. Like,
oh, well, that would make sense. I mean, he co-starred in Red State.
True. But again, not credited. So if someone can tell it, who it is, go into the our Facebook community and tell me, because I'd look it up.
Here's my other question. The guy, he's in a costume, but it's not a cockknocker costume. It looks like it is. But it's not.
The guy in the van?
Yeah.
They do explain it. It's basically a reference to
Cannonball Run.
Dom DeLuise's alter ego of Captain Chaos.
Okay, I guess I also never saw that movie. So when I saw it, I was like, it's kind of a ripoff of the cockknocker, which I did have to Google cockknocker. So there's your risque Google.
Oddly enough,
if you go back to Clerks 2, the strangest Googling I've ever done within Clerks 2, when I was going through all the racial stuff, that was one of the strangest shows ever done. That was stranger than the Duffy episode. That was stranger. Because I felt dirty by the time that episode was over. I felt very dirty that show was done.
To this day, I still feel that you can't taste racism should be on a shirt.
I mean, the wrong people would buy it. I don't think I want their money. I want their money. That's the problem. But you're not in 2022. I don't want their money. So anyway, Jay pulls our pedophile out of the van and beat the shit out of him, which was the fourth step in the plan.
I just love how it just says, Mr. Underhill beats up pedophile.
Like, I like the fact that they put that. It's really funny.
That is like the only clever part of this whole like pedophile scene. Like,
you know, the fact that that's a thing that he has to say.
It's one of the episodes. Tyler, this is going to be one of those episodes where you look back at it and be like, what the fuck did I just say for an hour? What the fuck did I just say? When you go back to record on Wildcat Minute, it's not going to be the same. But anyway, we get the van, and then we have another song. This movie is filled with songs. And for the first time, we're not doing a song from this year or the last 2 years, which we've been having a friend doing.
Hey, wait a minute, a big guy. Do you think this guy is it? Here.
So I'll look at that, and I will. That's not him.
Oh, my bad. Because said the costume weren't.
He did the same thing I did. It's a different person. Anyway, so let's get a song we have playing here. It's called "I Die Without You" by PM Dawn, off the 1993 album, The Bliss album. ... I swear to God, that's the actual album title, on Spotify.
I dig it.
Very
nice. One of my favorite albums is The Polyphonic Spree, the beginning stages of ...
Oh, it's a Mad Libs one. Okay.
So we cut to, and I like the fact that Silent Bob's the one that fell asleep and Jay's driving. I don't know if I trust Jay driving, but hey, Bob fell asleep. So someone's got to drive.
Quite honestly, I think the guy actually could be Stephen Root doing another role because he's credited for Cock Bando voices.
Well, that's why I thought of it.
So he could free.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
But I don't think it's him.
We'll go. Yeah, that's the problem, man. We don't know. Yeah. So we're on the in the van, and Jay is driving, which does Jay even have a license?
Hey, no license, no problem. And we also neglect to mention Shen Yu dictating into a recorder while looking at a lit up cross.
Yeah, sorry, Kurt, this is weird.
Well, it's contextualizing her experiences in America.
Yeah. While looking at a cross.
In a pedophile van.
In a van from a pedophile. No longer a pedophile van, a van from a pedophile. It's different now. The pedophile's gone. So
is that a Dogma style satirical line?
Well, the pedophile part of it isn't completely gone until they pulled over to the next gas station and sprayed the hell out of the van.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Silent Bob would be able to sleep on that carpeted van. Yeah.
And he's not the only one. One of the other girls is asleep too.
It's because although Rome is where you hang your hats.
I guess it's a cliche for this type of movie, but like I guess it is also just a Jay and Silent Bob thing where all the characters are going to get in a van and there's just going to be like a scene where they're in the van talking and driving.
Well, we got to set up the next plot point, which is the whole talking about it's how the girls have a little bit rough, but Jay doesn't think they do. So we have to get to that plot point. We talk about the fact that we're talking about how dangerous people can be. Jihad here talks about how a boy touched her like nipple, and then her family disowned her. Which is okay.
After her brother tried to smother her with her pillow with a pillow to claim the honor.
Sure. There you go. That makes sense.
I wrote in my notes intersectionality exclamation point, which is like a jokey way of taking the note, but I actually do think it's a strength of the movie. And they lampshade it later with like the diverse friend group. But it is a strength of the movie that they're able to make comedy and actually have a serious perspective on, you know, not only Millie's character, but the all of these friends and their own individual backgrounds. And a strength of the movie is that the young people are actually what's good in the movie, and the old farts who are trying to be funny aren't as impressive as the young people who are actually doing a really good job.
Which is actually a good theme for this movie in general.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the next generation of comedy here.
It's better than how a lot of other shows do it, where they basically try to beat into your head that they're good when they're unlikable jerk-asses or something. But here they actually do demonstrate their good qualities and their bad qualities, and they basically don't try and slam you know what I mean, right?
No, I'm with you. I understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, they're 3D characters.
Yeah.
As three-dimensional characters, which is very unlike this movie, actually.
It kind of explains why Eternals didn't do well critically. Apparently, they spent a lot of time, you know, setting up how diverse it was without, you know, giving thought to everything else.
I honestly have not watched the Eternals yet, so I can't even comment on it. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
because Jay is doing like a privilege check on Millie, which is, you know, fair-ish.
Yeah. He doesn't know her past either. He doesn't know her past.
He's making assumptions about her. And then that's when Jihad comes in and tells her story, saying not to one up it, but to say like, hey, dude, like all of our experiences are in context. We all have our own like issues. And Jay is forced to reconcile with, you know, like, oh shit, like people have actually gone through terrible things. And instead of like blowing it off or like, you know, now that he has a daughter, he like can actually feel what it's like when bad things happen to people. And he wants to make the world better for his daughter and her friends. And, you know, he has to say like, fuck that. I'd kick someone if they tried to get in my way, because he doesn't know how to emotionally process it yet, but he's getting there. And that's an interesting thing to see from him.
Although, and then they appreciate it, though. They appreciate the fact that he's crying.
Yeah. And I do. You know? And I do like the fact that, you know, after she tells her story, he immediately basically says, I beat the crap out of my brother.
True. And that's also respectful. I give a lot of respect to that movie.
Basically, Jay may be a stoner and an idiot, but he's not a bad guy.
What I'm curious about, though, with Jay in the movie, does he have the backstory of like Jay in real world that had like a shitty life growing up? Like, I'm just curious how that works, because I feel they talk about the fact he didn't have a dad in real life.
Basically, I mean, he was left on the curb of the Quick Stop and grew up there, literally.
True, very true.
Basically, all he has is a family up until now was Bob.
True, very, very true.
His hetero life partner.
Yeah.
Yes, or more. I mean, yeah. Of the 70 minutes. So then we have what's going to be paid off at Chronicon later, with Billy's massive crush on much of the thing with Chris Hemsworth, which I think he's speaking for most females in the world. With this conversation,
I mean, most people, I think.
Very true. I'm more girls are Chris Evans than Chris Hemsworth personally, but there you go.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're more of a Liam guy.
No.
he would like to
go in Avengers. I'd rather go Evan.
He'd like to salute the captain's flagpole.
Can I go Thor's far hammer. There? Thor's hammer. Yeah. Okay. America's ass.
America's ass. America's yeah. ass. You go.
That is America's.
Okay. Real quick. I'm probably the one. Has anyone else watched Hawkeye?
Oh, yes. I've seen Hot Guy.
Okay. Exactly. Thank you. In the musical sequence, they did a whole musical number in Hawkeye. It was absolutely amazing. It was Roger the musical. An entire musical number, absolutely hysterical. My favorite scene of the entire show. But they actually made a joke about how Captain America and Thor are the two hot men, two hot guys, and easy on the eyes in the song. Which is fantastic.
Meanwhile, Tony's up in heaven going, excuse me, you're forgetting somebody.
But you have to see and hear the song to understand where we're going with it, because the song is amazing. Anthony Rapp did the lead on it. It's absolutely amazing. Oh, it's one of the better. It's fantastic.
Again, with the strength of the movie being, you know, Harley Quinn's performance and this sort of crop of kids, you know, it's fun to see these kids be dirty with their sex jokes, and these, you know, women get the chance to kind of have that crude, rude humor that we're used to only getting from men in movies, right? That's a good opportunity, and that's the humor that feels fresh. Or the opposite of fresh. It feels like it was taken from a Kevin Smith movie of 20 years prior. it feels very real.
Now a lot of people would be saying they were knocking off Bridesmaids.
Well, the difference is, though, Bridesmaids, I actually enjoyed Bridesmaids. I didn't enjoy that movie, but it got too much. Like, that movie got to be too much.
I did like the fact they actually had lady basically showing that, you know, ladies could be just as, you know, raunchy and piggish as guys can be,
which is fine. I have no problem with it.
I mean,
it's my issue. Okay, I have an issue with the scene when they had the diarrhea scene in that movie. It's my same problem with in National Lampoon's Van Wilder, where they did the dog semen jokes. It's the same mentality. Then you just went a step too far.
But you're happy to do a podcast about a guy who fucks a donkey. Okay.
Hey, you know what? That was at least you didn't have people eating dog semen. So that's the thing.
Then we better remind him not to watch Bobcat Goldthwait's Sleeping Dogs Lie.
I'm just saying, like, I do have a line once in the blue moon, and that was my line.
That one Garfield comic where it's implied that Garfield makes John eat something with Odie semen in it.
I forgot about that.
No, my favorite is the classic. Okay, who greased my wiener?
Okay, then.
No joke. That is actually the punchline.
I believe you. I 100% believe you.
Well, then there's also one where it's implied that John accidentally grabbed a sandwich out of the picnic basket instead of his swimming trunks. No one wears a pastrami on rye like you, John.
Jim Davis, Fakine comedic wit.
A whole different era, a whole different world that one was. So, all right. Well, guys, where we leave our minutes. Any other words about this movie, Tyler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to know if anyone in this van was going to accidentally admit that they would fuck a sheep in the name of animal rights, who do you think it would be?
Oh, geez. Probably Jihad. Probably done it before.
I'd say Shen Yu. I'd say Shen Yu. I would say Shen Yu mainly because she's honestly creepy enough to do it.
Fair enough. What do you think, Tyler?
You know, I don't want to comment on this. I'm almost sorry that I asked the question.
Or the fact that we had answers right away.
Well, on the upside, at least this time I'm expressing opinion without being told I should be stoned for it.
Very, very true. If you forget that joke, please go back to our live show over the Book of South show. We're not going to explain that here because we did that in the first episode of the season. So go back and listen to that. That makes more sense if you heard of the first episode of the season. Oh man, you go to a con, make fun of a movie, and you almost get yourself killed. No figure. That's how things work. That being said, let's start wrapping things up with some plugs here. First of all, next episode, We will have Tracy from the Bare Naked ABCs on at the next episode.
So I love Tracy.
I know you do. And I almost did not, that did not happen on purpose. I realized that I was laying it out that you guys are back to back. That was not on purpose.
I'm going to see Stephen Page this weekend, and I texted Tracy to see if he was going to the same show that I was, but I'm going to the one in Boston, and he's going to a different one in New Hampshire the next night.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, you'll hear more from Tracy on the next episode. Tyler, why don't you plug away? Go.
Oh, I'll plug away. Well, Wildcat Minute is my show. It's a minute-by-minute analysis of High School Musical that I do with my sister. And we're about 50 minutes through High School Musical 2, which is an interesting movie that I have not seen before. As we go through it 1 minute at a time, I'm experiencing it as such. If you search Amateur Nerds in your podcast feed, or just look up Wildcat Minute or High School Musical podcast, I'm sure you will find it somewhere and enjoy our hilarious observations about mostly Zac Efron's amazing performances and the nature of Disney Channel original movies as a whole.
I think I said this on your show, and I guess about both seasons, first and second seasons already. And I don't understand how you could do an IMX show without seeing the movie. I don't understand that bit at all. I don't get it. Like, I don't know how you do it. Like, Tyler, how do you do that?
It's not hard when it's as basic of a movie as High School Musical.
Fair.
It's fair. Very predictable.
Kanye West could follow it.
And he's notoriously bad at directions. No, I don't know what that
is. There it is. There it is.
No, he's both crazy and stupid. It's a lethal combination.
All right, back to plugs. You can hear me every single Friday over the Play to South Show with Mark. And we are entering the end of, I believe it's the end of June or this airing. So we're heading into Money in the Bank season. So we're approaching what's turning out to be one of the stranger wrestling summers I've ever experienced. So go with us. Probably complaining, probably get really tired talking about wrestling shows in June. So go do that. Thank you, Tyler, for taking time out for this. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. And thank you for not secretly being international diamond thieves. It's nice to get a genuine interaction.
Fair enough. And everyone listening, like I said, we'll be back our next episode with Tracy from the Brandon KBCs. Till then, I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
Thank you all for listening. Have a good day, everybody.
I have nothing to say. Fuck it.
Noise, smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, rolling fatties, smoking blunts, who smokes the blunts, rolling blunts and smoking.